Welcome to the Beef Watch Podcast. I'm Aaron Berger, a Nebraska Extension educator. For today's Beef Watch Podcast, we're going to discuss an article that's in the 2025 Kansas State University Cattlemen's Day Report. We're going to be looking at a research project that occurred there titled Assessment of Nutrient Content of Kansas Grasslands Enrolled in the Conservation Reserve Program. And to have a conversation about this article, I'm joined today by Dr. Jason Warner, who's an Extension CalCAS specialist at Kansas State University. Thanks for joining me today, Dr. Warner.
Thanks, Aaron. Appreciate the opportunity to visit with you. You bet.
Well, Dr. Warner, set up for us a little bit the why behind this research study. I thought it was really good. It's one of the few I've seen that's looked at basically a long-term assessment of change in forage quality on CRP. So I guess just give us a little background on the why behind the project and what occurred with it.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks, Aaron. We really looked at this project as an opportunity to help provide some good usable information for not only our producer base, but then also to our industry stakeholders. And certainly as we think about being able to support the needs of extension personnel all across the United States to just help really fill in a knowledge gap, if you will, for an area of information that we just don't have a lot of good usable data with. And as we think about conservation reserve program, forage acres or lands that are enrolled in that program and really how we know that a lot of our cow herd across the country, thinking more broadly, you know, outside of Kansas, but more broadly around the United States, where we have cow herds that are in pretty close proximity to those acres, we know that those acres certainly get utilized by our livestock producers various times throughout the year. And as we know with the CRP program, that is certainly one that we see a tremendous amount of variability in terms of the use for those acres, when those acres get released for forage utilization. But when we really go back and we look at it, understanding, okay, if we're in a situation where we have to utilize those forages for grazing, that's an area of information that we just don't have a lot of good nutrient composition data to really work with. And so we thought that this was a good opportunity for our extension service to really provide some survey information on the quality of those forages and help provide in some of that useful information that we can really serve as a springboard, if you will, you know, for future analyses and work that might be done later on down the road.
So talk about the study itself. Obviously, there can be quite a bit of variability from year to year in terms of what we see happen in native grasslands, but also on CRP based on precip, when the precip comes, when those forage samplers are taken. So give us a little bit, I guess, context for the data that was collected.
You bet. So this was a two-year project that began in the late winter, early spring timeframe of 2023 and then ran through all of 2024. And so the idea there was to have a couple of years of data to be able to help understand the associated changes that occur throughout the year. We worked with a total of 16 different counties where we collected samples from 16 different counties across the state of Kansas. And really those were pretty equally divided between Kansas counties that are located in the eastern portion of the state and counties that are located in the western portion of the state, and worked with our local extension professionals in those county extension units to help identify producers that participated in the project and allowed to be able to collect those forage samples for analyses. And so we collected samples from a total of 25 different tracts across those 16 different counties throughout the state. And our objective there was to attempt to collect those samples on a monthly basis as much as we realistically could, depending on what weather conditions and the access to the site provided us to be able to do. But our objective was to try to get as many of those samples collected on a monthly basis across those tracts to help understand the nutrient profile changes there that we see. And so really the idea there was to try to sample from sites that represented a really vast production differences. Certainly when we think about precipitation and growing season lengths, we know that if we move from southeast and eastern Kansas out to western and northwest Kansas, our precipitation really drops off dramatically and our growing season days are certainly quite a bit shorter there. And so on average, we're looking at our sites there in Western Kansas that are most likely going to be right around that 20-inch annual rainfall area, which would be about half of the annual precipitation that we would see from our sites there in Eastern Kansas. And so really, when you look at it, just getting into some of the data, we see crude protein values on those sites from those samples that were collected, ranging anywhere from the below threes on a percent dry matter basis, all the way up to maybe 8-9% crude protein for an average. And what I would say on the crude protein data that we saw there, a really nice general trend in terms of lower crude protein values there that we would expect during the dormant winter months when those forages are dormant, and then increasing as we move into those active growing months. And we saw crude protein values for some months that ranged anywhere from 4% all the way out to over 16% on a dry matter basis, depending on the month of the year. And those high values there were certainly in the months where we would typically expect those protein values to be the highest when we look at April, May, June, those times of the year. And so I think it's important also to keep in mind that what we did with this project was we were sampling the same site, but sampling a different point within that site every single time. Thus, we had a different point there that was going to be able to provide us that data value, that data point. We've got each site represented, but it was not necessarily the exact same point within that site. So it was truly a random compilation or a random forage base effect there that's providing those data for us. And certainly, differences in soil type and management and the composition of the forages that are going to be represented on each of those sites is going to vary quite a bit. But the overall intent with this was just to give us a good general handle on what we see from a nutrient composition standpoint there. Interestingly, when we look at crude protein data, we really didn't see really much difference there between samples that were collected in the eastern portion of the state versus samples that were collected in the western portion of the state. Although we did notice that our crude protein peaked out or reached its maximal level earlier for our samples in eastern Kansas in May, where on average, across all those different counties that we collected samples from, our highest average crude protein content was 7.5% in May. And we actually peaked a month later in June in Western Kansas at about 6.5%. And we saw really similar corresponding changes when we look at fiber components, where fiber components decreased as we got into the growing season months. April, May, and June were our lowest fiber component months there. And we saw those values increase as we got into the dormant season months. And so that certainly matched what we would typically expect for our crude protein values. We saw some variation there in mineral composition as well too. We looked at macro minerals, calcium, phosphorus, potassium, and magnesium to get a handle on what those values look like, and certainly saw a tremendous amount of variation there, particularly for both calcium and potassium. Phosphorus was really pretty consistent there among all those months there, but we did see some general trends there for some increases in mineral composition relative to the growing season months. I think the big thing for producers to keep in mind as we look at these data, as we think about the things that are really important that we want to focus on, is that we're going to see a tremendous amount of variation there, I think, from one site, from one month to the next. But certainly, as we take a look at it, I think there are times of the year where if we have forages that are going to be released for grazing and we're going to utilize those forages, there might be some times of the year where, depending on production stage, we might be able to meet our protein or energy requirements with those forages and not have to rely on a lot of additional supplementation. I think if we think about using some of those forages at other times of the year, if that's going to primarily be the primary forage base that we're going to be working with, there's going to be some times where, we certainly are going to need to rethink about what our protein and our energy supplementation programs are when we've got cattle that are going to be managed on those forages. I mean, certainly a pretty high proportion of the overall months that we see there, protein and energy levels are going to be provided in that forage are going to be less than what we would require for lactating cows, and certainly very comparable with what we would see with our low quality winter range forage sources. A couple other things I think are important to keep in mind, when we think about utilizing these DRP forages is that, one, we know that Certainly from an animal selectivity standpoint, there is some data that would suggest or indicate that, use of animals to help collect those forage samples, fistulated animals, represents a more true estimate of what the actual diet quality is that those animals are consuming based on selectivity preferences. But we also know that, as we think more broadly about it, just to be able to provide some usable data that we can work with when we think about the folks that are helping our producers make feeding and supplementation decisions, having some good base values to be able to work with is extremely beneficial. Certainly, we can always make adjustments to those values, based off of digestibility and grazing selectivity, where we're collecting these samples using hand clip fashion versus the samples that are being collected using fistulated animals, right? So there's some differences there that we have to keep in mind, but certainly from the standpoint of, having some good usable information to make decisions with, we think certainly has a tremendous value for us.
Yeah, I think what you just shared there, the context of this. So just talk a little bit about how samples were collected. How low were you going in terms of clipping? Were you sorting out this year's growth versus last year's growth? What occurred with that as far as the actual sample collection?
You bet. So samples were all collected via hand using the hand clipping method. They were right at 1 meter squared sampling rings. All personnel that were involved with the project that were collecting those samples were collecting them in the same manner, but they were hand clipped samples, and we were collecting all the vegetation that was contained within those sampling rings. And the objective with that was to just help assess the overall content, nutrient composition of the standing forage, the entire standing biomass that would be available there for grazing or for hay. So we collected all four material grasses, grass-like species, with the exception of shrubs. If there were any shrubs or woody plants present within that designated sampling area, we left those plants standing and didn't include them in the sample for analysis. And so the idea then again is to assess the overall standing composition there. And so when we think about extrapolating this data or using these data for estimates of hay forage quality for folks, if they're going to be putting it up as hay, would certainly be very valuable and have some good direct implications and directly usable information there for that. And we sample all the way down to right about just above an inch above the ground surface there. So litter that was on the surface of the ground, we left that there and tried to avoid any contamination from soil in that sample as much as we could. And all samples, regardless of where they were collected from or the time of the year, those were all analyzed by a common commercial analytical laboratory here in Kansas for consistency there in terms of the analyses. And so I think, really when you take a look at it, these data are really valuable from both the standpoint of if we're going to turn animals out and graze, or if we're going to hay and utilize that forage that way, certainly has value for us there both ways.
One of the other things we know drives what happens in terms of forage quality is precipitation. So, just out of curiosity, before we got on, I looked back and when this data was collected there in the spring of 2023 was pretty dry in much of Kansas. There was the drought monitor showed quite a bit of widespread drought. Maybe some improvement then going into the spring and summer, but then looking in coming to 2024, dry again. So, in much of the state, at least when where many of these samples would have been collected, it would have been collected at times where you weren't drowning, so to speak, in moisture.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Those were especially at the start of this project, throughout the spring of 2023, and then on into the summer. Yes, we had that. That first year, nearly all the samples that would have been collected from western Kansas would have been collected during a time period when we were working with decreased precipitation and coming off of really two compounding pretty severe drought years there the years prior. And so absolutely, those are important things to keep in mind. And when you really go back and you take a look at it, and we're thinking about, okay, if we've got a standing CRP forage quality there, if we're somewhere between 45 to 50% on a dry matter basis in regards to TDN, if we're looking at total energy value there, certainly when we think about producers, if they're going to be early weaning in dry conditions, taking those calves off early and maintaining the rest of the cow herd on a low quality forage base like that, Those are the types of situations where, yeah, we know that we can certainly work with those types of low quality forages, very, very well and work with them. I think the thing that we really have to keep in mind is, okay, if we're going to be managing a set of lactating females on a forage base like that and working with something that's going to be in the mid to, low 50s on TDN and certainly 6-7% crude protein, that's a situation where I think we really need to be rethinking about what our long-term management strategy there is, with that particular cow herd. And so, again, I think the nice thing that we really see there are just some very consistent patterns that we would typically expect with our warm season native forages or our typical pasture areas that we would think about sampling that we've got some pretty good information on, but ones where when we think about, okay, working with this with a set of CRP forages where, the forage composition there is highly variable, that's a lot more challenging to get our arms around. And so I think this helps gives us some good workable information, at least make some initial decisions with. And then, as we think about folks as they work with producers individually, okay, if we can better understand maybe what the specific composition is, forage mix wise, it would have been used on those plots that folks might be working with. They can maybe hone in on that and make some specific decisions for their herd and for their operation based on what they have to work with and use these as a good guiding base to be able to make some initial decisions with.
Yeah, I think what you just said there really rang a bell with me. This is kind of some baseline information as you think about what may be out there in terms of quality. From a hay standpoint, obviously, much of this is going to be a little better than wheat straw, but not much in many cases if you're going out and going to harvest that for hay. But that's a good thing to know, obviously, as we think about being short on forage. If I'm going to go out and harvest this, what's it going to cost me to put it up? What's the value of it? What am I going to get in terms of quality? And then I think, the other thing that just jumps out to me is that it highlights for me, variability from year to year, variability within season. And this is where a producer, and we know, as you said earlier, Dr. Warner, esophageal fistulated cow, she's going to be our best barometer in terms of what is a cow actually going to go out there and graze and use. But from a producer perspective, if they're going out thinking about, okay, if I'm a cow and I'm grazing this, what may I be selecting for? And, what may be the height I would be selecting at? We can go out and do some grass hand clipping and try to get a picture of what might these cows be eating. Go ahead and send that in, get it analyzed, and at least get us a ballpark idea of what we may be dealing with there.
I agree. I agree. That's the general idea there. And I think as we think about, making those individual decisions with producers that are going to utilize that forage, as with all forages, we can get really good estimates of overall forage quality, by mechanically clipping and harvesting those samples and working with them in that manner. And we use that as initial guide and if we need to make some adjustments that we think that are appropriate after that, we can certainly do that. But at the end of the day, we don't want producers flying blind, right? And that's the thing that we've got to go back and take a look at there. And that was the overall objective with this project. And so, I think there'll be future work that will most likely come from this. And I think more broadly, as we think about, understanding the goals of the CRP program, right? Conservation, water quality, wildlife habitat, those types of things, which are extremely important. But as we think about, the folks that make those management decisions in terms of when those forages are released for forage utilization for our livestock producers, being able to do that at a time and just having some information that helps both of those aspects of the CRP program and making sure that those things are in line to just make informed management decisions. And that's really the overall objective with it, to help everyone that utilizes these forages make more informed decisions.
Dr. Warner, anything else you'd like to highlight on this research?
I think really want to highlight that's a good example of how we in Extension can work directly with our producers to help generate and provide usable information for our broader livestock industry and our associated allied industries. And really the objective with this, not only from the standpoint of the nutrient composition data, but then also too as an opportunity for our extension personnel to interact with producers and demonstrate how we can directly engage with them to provide usable information, producer-based focused research that's directly applicable. That's the overall objective with it, right? And so I think that's a really, really neat thing about it that certainly want to emphasize with the with the overall goals of the project.
Well, Dr. Warner, appreciate your time today. Also, just appreciate the research project itself, the data that came from it. And I think, as you've said numerous times, this provides a base for folks who are looking at utilizing CRP acres, whether that's a mid-contract management practice where grazing is allowed or it's CRP that's been released for grazing. Both of those, I think, or looking at it as harvesting it as hay, kind of an emergency hay scenario. All of those things, I think this data provides some good foundational information for folks who are thinking about making decisions. So thanks for your work and for your time today.
Thanks, Aaron. Appreciate it.
Well, for more information on the article that was discussed in today's Beef Watch podcast, you can find this in the 2025 Cattlemen's Day report. Again, that's a Kansas State University research report that's published annually. The title of the research that we discussed today, Assessment of Nutrient Content of Kansas Grasslands, enrolled in the Conservation Reserve Program.